The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, too much to take in, TKO Tuesday. Because one of the worst tragedies that can hurt the people of God is the lack of biblical knowledge. Remember, God created the universe. He can write a book. First up, no figs, no grapes, no olives, no crops, no problems. Next, we make it clear why the Green New Deal is just a three-card Monty at a poorly run carnival. Ooh. And finally, leadership can produce great achievements, great culture, a great quality of life, and great growth in godliness. But on the other hand, leadership can produce, none of that stuff. Uh-oh!
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You know, you can call us 972-445-0770. That's the call-in number. You can text us 214-210-8483. You can do hand gestures that we might be able to see if we're in your living room watching you do them. But since I'm really bad at Pictionary, it's kind of like, maybe. And then you can doodle, but nobody's going to see that, and I can't help you. Remember, reaching out to us has to do with praise reports, prayer requests, which we've gotten several prayer requests in the last couple of days, and we're praying on those on an everyday basis. It also has to do with an opportunity to ask a pop question, which we're going to try and get to. Somebody asked a pop question. We're going to try and get to that on Friday. Plus, it has to do with trivia, and a lot of people seem to like the trivia, so let's have a good time in that. You're welcome to call and you're welcome to text. Here is the simplistic opening. Paul prayed how many times to have his thorn in the flesh removed? How many times did Paul pray and say, I don't like this? How many times? When you know that answer, you can either call in or text in. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. I'm not even going to go with it's two cans and a string. Sometimes I wonder, hey, it's just radio, okay? It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. So much to do. So little time to do it. I want to say this because I don't think the vice presidential nomination, the person who has been selected to be the vice president running mate for Joe Biden has been said yet. I might not even make it to the third segment where I really want to talk about it, but let me say this real fast. Whoever is selected, if it's if you're a Democrat and you're on the Democratic side, you're going to say, it's awesome. Great choice. Couldn't have done better. Fantastic. Super excited. And if you're on the Republican side, you're going to go, worst choice ever. Not a possibility. Incredible. Could have chose any of the other people. I don't care who it is. I don't care if he picks Mickey Mouse. It doesn't matter who he picks. I don't care if he picks Superman. It doesn't matter. If you're a Democrat, you're going to go, brilliant. If you're a Republican, you're going to go, idiot. Okay. I just wanted to get that on the air before it happened because it doesn't matter who's going to get picked. Those will be the reactions. And trust me, when I say this, you can go to any news outlet, and if they're pro-Trump and pro-Pence, they're going to say, oh, what terrible, terrible choosings. And then if they're pro-Biden and pro-the VP pick, they're going to go, oh, what brilliant, brilliant choosings. So So I'm just saving you like 2 hours worth of television. In the meantime, you should watch something like, I don't know, like, you know, I don't know, Odd Couple. Something like that. Something in the old, you don't even know what that is, do you? The original Odd Couple, do you?
Nope, because when I was going to say, what is that?
Oh. You're killing me here, Smalls. You're killing me right here. You're killing me right now. Okay, all right.
See, I can use that for you, not the other way around.
Not the other way around. All right, the only reason I bring that up is because that shows you how volatile things are in life. This is not the stability of things that we're looking to understand. You think, well, Dave, you're getting a lot more political. Not really. I've been anti-political pretty much for the first year. I've been real careful just to kind of lay down some groundwork. And as we get closer to the election, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for you. Vote for. I'm not going to say it should be this or it shouldn't be this. I'm going to pick apart things that are not biblical, because they're not biblical. They will be both on the left and on the right. It's not my fault that the left just offers me more opportunity to do that. I'm just simply pointing out that between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21, that is the call. It is not the worship of the Word of God. It is the respect of the Word of God, that if God, in our faith, we believe he can create the universe by speaking, the dude had better be able to write a book. Otherwise, your God is really inadequate. And I'm just going to leave it there. So with that, knowing that and moving into that, I'm telling you this because there's so much stuff that's going to be flying and up and down. I'm just waiting for some kind of really unique thing where another Titanic ship comes sailing through New York or something. That's what I'm waiting for. In the meantime, maybe we can talk about Habakkuk and his chapter 3, and this is verse 17, 18, and 19, and I think this is just a wonderful a portion of Scripture. I was reading it today in my devotions, so I'm sharing my devotions with you. Every day, the Lord is taking me somewhere new, and on for whatever reason, on Tuesdays, I'm in the Minor Prophets, okay? Not that the other prophets are – it's not an unequal in the Minor and the Major Prophets. It's talking about the length of books. So Jonah is not less of a prophet than Jeremiah. It's just that Jonah's four chapters, and that's a lot less than Jeremiah's writing, especially because he did both Jeremiah and the Book of Lamentations. But in Habakkuk, there's this one portion at the very end of his prophecy that is just lights out, super cool, fantastic, that every Bible-believing, born-again Christian should be like, praise God, that's in the book, and here's what it says. And by the way, it's often called a hymn of faith. That's the kind of the title that people that do interpretation, that do word studies, that do really deep concentrational reports on these things, or maybe writing a theological treaty. This is called a hymn of faith. And here's what it says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. Listen to this. This should really bless you. When the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, when the olive trees do not produce and the fields yield no crops, when the sheep disappear from the pen and there is no cattle in the stalls. As we go through this verse 17, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 negatives in a row. This is like no buds on the fig trees. There's no vines, there's no budding of the fig trees. There's no grapes. There's no olives that can produce any kind of oil. There's no fields that are doing any kind of crops. There's no sheep. They're out of the pen. There's no cattle. This is a no scenario. When all of that is going on, these are the key elements in the word. When that is taking place, verse 18, I will rejoice because of the Lord. I will be happy because of the God who delivers me. When the prophet is writing this, he's telling people right up, look, even if there's no figs, even if there's no grapes, there's no olives, there's no fields, there's the sheep are disappearing, the cattle is not even in the stalls. Even if all that's going on, you know what? I am going to praise the Lord because God is the God who delivers me. And so while all these things are going on and they have this tremendous appearance of negative, they have a very deceiving communication if you don't see it with the eyes of God. Verse 18, I will rejoice because of the Lord. You want to know why you rejoice? Because you're happy that there's no grapes? No. That you're happy there's no figs, there's no budding? No. Because you're happy there's no olive trees producing oil? No. Happy there's no crops? No. Happy the sheep are disappearing? I don't even know how they're disappearing. I don't know if it's Star Trek or what. You're not happy that there's you're happy that there's no cattle in the stalls? Nope, none of those things. I will rejoice because of the Lord. I will be happy because of the God who delivers me. The core of your joy, the core of your being, the core of your existence is not your circumstance. Your situation does not determine the level of joy you operate in. Your situation and your circumstance does not determine the amount of rejoicing you can do. The rejoicing, the joy, the happiness is because of God Himself. And because He is stable with no variableness, neither shadow of turning, we can fully integrate our faith into God, recognizing the circumstance does not dictate my responses of living. Because God is faithful, I can rejoice because of Him, I will be happy because of Him, and He is the God who delivers me. Isn't that fantastic? Look at verse 19. The sovereign Lord is my source of strength. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the bonus you thought you were getting. No. I thought it was the meal they were bringing that they wouldn't possibly ever ruin your steak. No. It's the Lord. He is the source. He is the key. It is His presence. It is the fullness of joy. He is that strength that comes from that joy. The rest of the verse, He gives me the agility of a deer. He enables me to negotiate the rugged terrain. Ho, 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 ho. God enables you and I to go through the rough patches. Notice there was a little Scooby-Doo in that. The rough passages. Because we go through rough trials, rough trails. And in lieu of that, the Lord enables us to get through them with great strength, with great grace, and with great ability. Is that not the most fantastic thing yet? It is, and it's a hymn of faith. You should read it. By the way, Paul prayed three times to have his thorn in the flesh removed. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. So that was the answer God gave him. Folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. My hope is in God and His people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people to vote for. but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it, and it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Well, I really did like that first segment. That's some serious, like, bam, bam, bam kind of stuff. Kind of like the Flintstones. Bam, bam, bam. Remember, do you know the Flintstones at least?
I do know the Flintstones.
Oh, my God. And you know the Brady Bunch and stuff like that?
Yes, and Three's Company. That's a good one.
That's a little later, though. But
oh, what about Golden Girls?
How about that's you know, what about Petticoat Junction?
I know that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Green Acres.
No. I know Three Stooges.
Well, that's good. Three Stooges is good to know. Green Acres. My wife and I used to sit up in bed and sing the theme song. We'd watch it every once in a while, like at 1:30 in the morning. We'd sing the theme song, and I'd turn over to her, and I'd go, if anybody ever saw us doing this, you know, Green Acres is the place for me. I mean, it's just like, wow. Anyhow, let's move on quickly. While I still have any shred of dignity left, you know you can reach us by calling 972-445-0770. You can also text us. That's free. We don't, I don't know what your text bill thing is, but we're not charging. You can text us. It's in your plan probably. 214-210-8483. Here is, question number two. Not too difficult, but you got to think about what time of the day did Adam and Eve hear God walking in the Garden of Eden? There was a time of day. What was the time of day that they heard God walking in the garden? Coming to fellowship, coming to hang out, I'd say you'd almost say chew the fat, but they weren't eating any animals at that point yet. So maybe they were just coming to have a powwow, a discussion, an opportunity, fellowship, that kind of. All right, if you know the answer, text it in. If you don't, then just wait till the end of the segment, and then I'll tell you. Before we get into the Bible Baloney beatdown, which we're going to do, we're going to take a quick detour into our Hebrew dictionary, but we still have so much more to cover. So let's remember our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. And if you guys are really trying to figure out, you know, we want to support the ministry, first we ask for prayers. We keep that pretty straightforward. Second, after you've paid and supported the ministries that are around you that you have been connected to and that have been feeding you, if this ministry is helping you, we ask you to help us out. HeMustIncrease.org is a great place to do it. There's nothing special that's going to happen other than you, in context, are sowing into the kingdom of God. And if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And this is a bit beyond me. I have nothing to do with it. That's up to God. Okay? We encourage you to do that and to check that out. HeMustIncrease.org. The question up there, pretty straightforward. What time of day did Adam and Eve hear God walking in the garden? You got people coming in texting now. You can call in as well. Let's do a little bit of history because there's something really funny in this. Today in history, you know, we at some point we would do that, but we're going to run out of history. So, but it would have been like, da-da-da. You want to do a da-da-da for me real fast? Just say da-da-da, or do you got something?
Da-da-da.
Good enough. Today is Play in the Sand Day. Okay, I like that. I mean, we live by a beach, and I will say that beaches in places like, the Bahamas and Hawaii and certain places seem to be kind of nice compared to some of the beaches we went to in California, which I wouldn't stick my finger in that sand if you paid me. It's also National Raspberry either Bombay Day or Tart Day. I think it just has to do with raspberries, okay? I'm not huge on that. I don't know where that's – I love raspberries. I just don't know all the desserts. You know, give me a raspberry, anything with pie, anything like a raspberry, a cheesecake. I'm good. It's all good. But today is also Presidential Joke Day. So as you know, I have a couple of jokes for you. poor T.
Yeah, God, no.
Yes, here we go. What do you call George Washington's false teeth? Presidentures. Come on, that's pretty funny. If George Washington was alive today, why couldn't he throw a silver dollar across the Potomac? Because a dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. That's why I see. I don't disagree with you there. Why did George Washington have trouble sleeping? Because he was the guy that couldn't lie. Okay, here we go. This is my favorite. Okay. What did George Washington say to his men before they crossed the Delaware? Get in the boat, guys. I found that to be a little humorous. You guys can get mad about it. That's fine. All right, here we go. Bible baloney beat down.
Hello.
It's now time for David Spoon's Bible Baloney Beatdown. Bible Baloney Beatdown.
I'll knock your brains out if you had any.
All right. That's an excellent intro. It's just like right into what is perfect. Tuesdays are just the weirdest days. All right. For people who are Christians and do not understand why it is so important to walk in the faith of the new heavens and the new earth, as opposed to hoping that we can put a Band-Aid on the old one and fix it up, there are four things to remember. So here's what I'm really getting at. There's a big push, and I think you guys have heard about the Green New Deal. And I don't know that everything about the Green New Deal is bad or good, other than, you know, the idea that they're going to get rid of airplanes. That ain't happening. They're going to get rid of cars. Yeah, that ain't happening. Unless we really do develop the technology of Star Trek where you can just beam people from place to place, then that's fine. I mean, nobody's going to object. They scramble all your atoms and molecules and they put them back together somewhere else. I don't know. You know, if it happened, that's great. Here's the reason why, as Christians, I'm not thinking that whatever we're going to do, we're going to take some ointment and patch up the old world and make it better. Here's why that will not happen. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 17 and 18. Behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. Okay, there were two new things there. One was heavens and one was the earth. So I'm not seeing I'm going to recycle the earth. I'm not going to bandage the earth. I'm not going to put gauze on the earth. I'm seeing create new. So people will say, oh, that's one verse. So let me finish the verse and then I'll show you the rest of the verses. Behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered. What? I forgot. Get it? The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. So as Bible-believing, born-again Christians, we are supposed to rejoice, and we are supposed to be glad in what God is going to create, not what he has already created by itself. What he's going to do is 10 times, a million times more fantastic than what we've done now since we have polluted the land by our own sin. In the next heavens and the next earth, there will be nothing like that. It will all be perfect, complete, and mature in the right way. And then he says this, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. God is telling us, you and me, be glad and rejoice in forever in what I will do, which is a new heavens and a new earth. And then you think, but Dave, that's Isaiah 65. I mean, is there a New Testament reference? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth. What are we doing? We're looking forward. What are we looking forward to? A new heavens and a new earth. See, if you just use the book, you get it. Okay, you get it. It's like, okay, so God's going to make a new heavens and a new earth, even though we're going to try and patch up the old ones. Kind of like us saying, we don't really need Jesus. We can just really make ourselves better. And he's like, no. No, you can't. And we're not going to be able to make the earth better. We need the new heavens and the new earth, or we're in trouble. And that's what God promises. That's what we're supposed to look forward to. That's what's in the Old Testament. That's what's in the New Testament. Wait, I'm not done. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth ceased to exist. And the sea also ceased to exist. So here's something that's even more bizarre. If you're a Christian who really believes that God can write a book and you believe in the Bible, the first heavens and the first earth, by the way, even heaven's getting a redo, they're going to cease to exist. So no matter what you think you can do to make it better, it ain't going to matter because it ain't going to last. And you're thinking, but that's just crazy talk. That means that you're living your life as though you're just going to be living for eternity. Yep. That's it. You see, it's not about this 60, 70, 80, or 90 years. And it's not about the journey, because some people's destination is going to be H-E double hockey sticks or hell, and other people's destination is going to be heaven. And so it's a lot more about the destination than it is about the journey. You can have 90 terrible years if you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You just made your eternity sweet. Isn't that more important? Isn't that amount of time more important than the 80, 90 years? Of course it is. And so there's people that are saying, well, we want to do our best to be the best stewards we can. I don't got a problem with that. Do the best you can to be the best stewards you can be. Fine. I don't have an issue with that. Here's what I have an issue with. If you are not looking forward to what God is going to create, if you are not looking forward and rejoicing and being glad of that which God has promised to do, you're not doing what God said. You're not walking with the right mindset. You can't escape it. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. Tis the word of God. That's right. I used a little King James there. Tis the word of God. Okay? All right. What time of day did Adam and Eve hear God walking in the Garden of the Eden? It was in the cool of the day, also known in Hebrew as the evening. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I don't want to run into that guy in an alley, that's for sure. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. It's amazing that I'm going to be talking about leadership in this next segment, and that's kind of talking about a leadership. Just like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. All right, let's have a little bit of a trivia kind of break or a breath here. Taking a breath in the middle of our Tuesday, making sure people have the opportunity to respond. Here's a very interesting question. You really have to think. The answer is in Genesis. Well, I'm going to tell you. Who is the first person in the Bible to experience fear? I don't know where that laugh came from, but it came from somewhere. Who is the first person in the Bible to experience fear? If you know the answer, you're welcome to call in 972-445-0770. Also, you can text 214-210-8483. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org. hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. Excellent job. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now, if you have not heard or did not get a chance to hear the very first segment in this one, I rarely do this, but I am going to encourage you to make sure to get the podcast and listen to the very first segment. It's really good, really helpful. Middle two, a little more political. Fourth one, going to be a little more spiritual. So you'll see all the stuff that's going on. But in the meantime, we have to keep up on our education. As you know, I continue my education. You need to continue your education because we are not fully matured in Christ in the capacity that we reflect Him in everything we think, say, and do. And so we're growing in that. So we're a little bit of Yiddish dictionary. Always good for people to kind of catch along and, you know, follow along with us. So let's have our Yiddish dictionary sound. Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, excellent job. Thank you very much. Terrific tea. I really appreciate it. Again, the trivia question that's out there, who's the first person in the Bible to experience fear? Here's your Yiddish, by the way, your Yiddish word. It's called schmutz. Some people pronounce it schmutz, but it's really like schmutz, schmutz. And you're thinking, what is that, right? Places you'll find schmutz. Include in the sidewalk, inside your vacuum, soiled t-shirt. What is it? It is exactly this. It is a Yiddish word referring to a dirtying substance like dust or dirt, or in the case of a dirty garment, maybe there's tomato sauce on it, and so therefore it's got schmutz on it. So just remember that. Sometimes you drive down the freeway and somebody has dropped a lot of schmutz along the sideway and along the driveway, and probably won't need that for your trivia tonight, but okay. All right. Let's go into this next element. I still don't know, and I haven't checked because I haven't checked with Tiara, and she probably doesn't know yet either. Either by now, or at least I got it in the beginning of the show, or sometime today or sometime tomorrow, we're going to hear about the Biden's VP pick, and everybody's going to freak out, and the left is going to go left, and the right's going to go right. And there's not going to be anything weird or bizarre about that. It's just going to be the same thing, besides the fact that every news station you listen to spends 50% of their time reporting on other news stations. See, they didn't used to do that. See, this is what I'm trying to keep telling people. The news now is narrative, not objectified. It's a narrative. It's a story. They're telling a tale. And this is where the word rumor comes from and false truths come from. And it's like, that's all they do. But they get you to watch. Or they get you to listen. And that's what, guess what they would do if they made no money? They would do none of that. If the news divisions didn't make, remember the news divisions used to be what they call a loss leader. It used to be, well, we just do that out of respect for the industry. We do it because we know it doesn't make money. Now, if your news division doesn't make money, you're out. So now it's whatever makes money. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, so let's talk about leadership just a little bit, because I want to understand, I want you to understand that leadership does matter. In fact, I have a BA degree in leadership and ministry and a master's degree in theological study. I'm doing my PhD in Bible exposition. Leadership matters, and here is why it matters. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 9. But the people did not listen. Manasseh, who was the king in Israel, led them astray, so they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on. I could care less. Leadership can be a fantastic gift to the people of the land, or it can be a tremendous, they can be a tremendous curse. Does it matter if it's men? Nope. Doesn't matter if it's men, doesn't matter if it's women, doesn't matter what the race is, doesn't matter what the background is. If people are leading other people and they're doing a poor job, they are creating impending doom for the current and subsequent generations, period. Any leader can lead people into disaster. Now, if that's true, just on the face of it, how much more true for somebody who doesn't seek God's counsel for decision-making and for making the best possible choices? There are plenty of Christian people in leadership that are actually sinos. You ever heard of a rhino? A rhino is a Republican in name only. A sino is a Christian in name only. Sounds good, works great for ads, works great to get a certain base behind you. But if they're not following Jesus, it doesn't matter. And Paul said, follow my example, watch this, as I follow Christ. So pick any leader you want, take the Bible, look at Jesus, look at the leader, tell me how it's going. Okay? I'm not going to say that everybody is failing, but I'm not going to say that everybody is passing. This is fair enough. So this is why it's really important for you and I as Christians, as believers, for us to stay connected to God ourselves and not be connected through someone else. Because the primary truth that people seem to escape is when you stand before God, and you will stand before God, you will not be able to point to the left or the right and say, but they said, because that's not going to matter. What's going to matter is how you respond to God. And leadership goes up, leadership goes down. I think that the blessing of the Lord kind of moves upon leadership from time to time if the people are genuinely seeking God. But you have to understand the primary thought process. A man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. When you have a leader that just doesn't get Christian principles, you got trouble. Because we need excellent leadership in government, and let me tell you another place we need excellent leadership: in churches. There are plenty of churches where the people that are leading don't even know who Jesus is. Now, how are they supposed to lead people as Christians and not know Christ? Can you feel that disaster coming? Can you just feel the Lord going, over here, up here, guys, over here. Hey, look, I left you a book. Try and read that. Hey, the Holy Spirit will come and visit. Hey, Jesus died on that cross. He's not on the cross. He's off the cross. Let's remember that. He resurrected. That's the point of our faith. Oh, okay. Here's the problems that I see in this. I don't mind that we have individual decisions. What I'm really disliking, and I had a conversation with my brother, and just so you can know, for the honesty's sake, my sister is a lunatic left loon. I mean, she's a loon, okay? And then my brother is a right-winger to the far right. So I got my brother way over on the far right, my sister way over on the lunatic left, and then I'm in the middle, and my brother's a Christian, my sister's not, but I'm sitting there going, man, you guys— all they can see is through this political drip, through this political side. It's like I'm thinking, Jesus, please come back. please come back. No, we don't have Thanksgiving dinner together. My parents have passed on, by the way. So, I mean, so you understand. Why? Are you kidding? We wouldn't get five minutes. I wouldn't even get into the room. They'd already be like, Are you kidding? Bad enough watching the Lions lose for 35 years in a row. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you and I have to stay connected to the Lord, because some people in leadership are going to do really well and some are not. But you cannot rest on them to be your excuse for not following God. That's going to be the big key. And as you move forward, it is your job to identify those that are as close as, you know, as they're going to get towards the Lord. You want people using the wisdom of God. And if the person on the opposing party gets into office and you don't like it, you don't pray that God swallows them up whole. You pray that God gives them the wisdom to lead the nation. Because if they don't get that wisdom from God, our nation is in trouble. A house divided, it's tough to stand, isn't it? But if any leader will repent and turn towards God, which, by the way, Manasseh did one time. He did turn, and God gave graciousness to him. And that's the key, God's graciousness in the process. Okay? All right. Ooh, what a tough segment that was. I'm going to be really nice the next segment. Don't worry. First person to experience fear in the Bible, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were the first people, primarily Adam, but Adam and Eve, first people to experience fear in the Bible. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Apparently now, being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, 214-210-8483 is the text number, the phone number, 972-445-0770. Simple trivia question to go with: who was really big and had a spear where the tip of the spear weighed 15 pounds. Now, if you've ever worked out before with weights, you know that 15 pounds for the tip of a spear is huge. I mean, it's just absolutely enormous. Who, what Bible character, had a spear and that the tip was 15 pounds. If you think you know the answer, 214-210-8483. Also, you can call in 972-445-0770. Keep in mind our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, excellent. So we got answers pouring in already. Excellent, excellent job. Keep it going. Who had that big, I mean, that just the tip of the sword, the tip of the spear, I mean, 15 pounds. I mean, you have to think about how much, think about a turkey, right? So some people have like a 15-pound turkey. It's like, that would be at the tip of the sword. That's not the sword. This is just the top part. Like, huge. It's cool. All right. Let's get into it. You can answer. You can also call in 972-445-0770. We're going to do this one. Ray, my good friend, always helps bring me back to earth. I know you guys love me. And if you don't, you're in trouble. See how that works? You have to love me. Let's see. You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You got to love your neighbors, love yourself. You got to love your brothers and your sisters. You got to love your enemies. In somewhere I fit. See? There you go. Here he wrote a wonderful piece, a wonderful devotional piece. It says, "You can do this. Listen to this. Excellent evaluation." This comes out of Deuteronomy 1:21. "Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it." That's Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. 2 million people stood at the edge of the river, the promised land, waited. All they had to do was cross. For 40 years, They had wandered the wilderness, cared for by God, and the leaders had grown to trust. The people had grown to trust their leaders, Moses and Aaron and their parents. And many of those people that all were perishing, and they're all getting to the end of their lives. And the people stood at the edge of the river, and now they were, watch this, terrified because they had to cross over. Moses, who would not be crossing over with them, gave them one of the all-time great motivation speeches. This should be at the top five of all time ever. He said, "You can do this. Your parents didn't enter. They lost their chance, wandering in the circle of unbelief. Don't let that happen to you." Motivation by and persuasion by going, look what your parents just went through. Don't be your parents. Here's the one time you could really stand by that and know that's true. The journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barnes was an 11-day hike, and it took them 40 years. This is a pivotal moment, isn't it? Pivotal moment. 11 days stretched into 40 years because they failed to trust God. All right, let's take this call, and then we'll come back. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Kelvin, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How you doing, David?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. How you doing?
Doing good. I got two things I want to say. I want to answer the question and make a statement and see what you think about it.
Okay, you got it. Fire away.
Okay. The answer to the question is Goliath.
Correctamundo. That is 100% correct. That is true, sir. You've got it. That is absolutely right on target. That's a big spear if the tip is 15
absolutely.
Pounds. That's huge.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, next thing.
Now, this is what I wanted to say. What do you think about this? This is how I think about it. I want to see what you think about it, okay? When we are speaking of people from the Bible and we call them characters, it tends to me to refer to them as being fictitious. Is that the thought that you would agree with, or you think I'm kind of overdoing it and thinking like that? Because I think it's a person in the Bible.
Okay, that's a great question. Let me go right to the answer to that. So for you, that phrase character is going to mean more of a fictitious person. That's not going to be the same as each person who's grown up hearing the phrase character, personage, or whatever. It's going to be a little bit more about the upbringing and how one translates or understands that word character or person. But I understand your premise, and the premise is if you speak it in terms of character, people might tend to fictionalize, which is a certain disaster, because these are certainly not fictitious people, but actual people. But I totally get that, and I do think
right.
What I tried
to do before I call, I thought about that. I've always kind of like thought this way, but before I call, I said, wait a minute, let me think. Have I ever heard somebody that we would talk about, let's say for instance, if we were talking about George Washington or any other historical figure, and we were talking about a story or an account concerning them, have I ever heard them referred to as a character? And I couldn't think of anybody.
Well, see, and that's for you, that's a very important distinction, and always to make that, never to lose that insight that you got. For me, I look at Peter, James, and John, very beloved, very real, but I consider them Larry.
I absolutely know that for you. I know that for sure for you.
I'm not questioning that,
not in the slightest.
Yeah, no, that's an
but
excellent
I'm just talking about as presenting them when we're talking about them to somebody.
Yeah, that's an excellent perspective. Oh, that's really good. I'm glad you called and said that. And you know what? I should be aware of that. That's a good point that some people might see it that way. No person that we ever discuss biblically is ever fictitious.
Amen. God bless you, my brother.
All right, thank you, my brother. God bless. Okay, excellent job. See, I love stuff like that. It's just radio. Isn't radio fun? Radio's fun.
It's always fun.
It's always fun. All right, I want to finish up on this one thing, and he makes a great point. So never, ever, if you're ever listening to the show, never, ever, ever, ever. I mean, I call him, and he made a really good point. Some people will see them as more of a fictitious. Like, these are no fictitious here. I just read the book of Jonah. I wish one time I could sit down with Bill O'Reilly and explain to him why he is really, really not on board understanding the depth of Jonah. But I think he's past the time. I think I missed that moment. Anyway, let's go back to this. 11 days, by the way, stretch into 40 years because these people failed to trust God. A high cost to pay for kind of a stubborn disobedience. And even still, God took care of them. God protected them. So here was the question that Ray wrote, and I think it has a really good play for all of us. Are you on the edge of a new phase or life or adventure? Are you about to enter into something that you've wondered about, but you have some fears and some uncertainties and they're holding you back? But are you being pushed by unseen forces into a place you've never been and you're getting to be a little bit afraid? You might be standing on the edge of the river. And there might be some sense that you're a little bit, you know, afraid, a little bit reserved. But here's what else Moses said. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. The Lord your God who's going with you will fight with you as he did for you in Egypt and in the wilderness. The Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you've reached this place. The detour of unbelief always leads us in circles. Back to the same lessons and the same doubts and the same fears. What if we can't muster the faith? If you're really having a hard time, ask like the Father who did in Mark 9:24, I believe, help my unbelief. And remember, he will carry you all the way. Here's the great, great conclusion to Ray's devotional. Through Jesus Christ, you can do this. So if you're at the end of a edge of a river and you're just like, all you got to do is cross it, you just do this with the Lord. Just don't try and do it in your own strength because, by golly, I've done that for 42 years, 4 trillion times, and I can tell you it never works out the right way. But when I trust in the Lord, that's that big thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Oh, he's so kind to us, isn't he? He's just gracious. It's just awesome. Okay, excellent call, excellent show. Hope everybody enjoyed it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, he reached down and saved me.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.